From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls, on a almost momentous week for us. But that's another story. I'm Eric Walcher at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, where it's been snowing. I said it again, snowing, 20 centimetres of snow up on the top there, but gloriously sunny down here as soon as the snow goes. Marvellous. And this is the town of Poprad in the east of Slovakia, hence the name Postcard from Poprad. In the UK, the zit of the nose of Europe, we've actually got both of them this week. Double trouble in the UK. Oh dear. Lee Banks, are you there, sir?
I am. I just want to say something really quick.
Go on.
Something that happened to me last night. Just pass it on really quick. A friend of ours, right, a young lady, I went round to her house last night, and you know what? She had, the first one I've ever seen, an 8-foot light switch.
Right.
What?
An 8-foot light switch. What a huge turn on.
Right. The tumbleweed rolls across the screen in front of you.
I made myself a girlfriend out of plastic food wrap, but she's a bit clingy. Right, that's it. Okay, carry on. Let's do the news.
Hey, in London, ahead of the wedding, it's Mark Gander.
Yeah, well, hi, and I'm in London, I'm in North London, I'm about 2 minutes away from Hampstead Heath. I'm just so pleased to be in London. Hello.
What are you doing at Hampstead Heath?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, wouldn't you, lad? You're late and you sound a bit limp.
It's not that side of the Heath, it's the other side of the Heath.
Oh, you do it like the other side.
Yeah, like I believe that as well. So how many lots of pies and fish and chips have you had?
Well, we actually had one lot of fish and chips, and absolutely great. Although that was in Dorset, because we went to the I'm here with my family for a couple of weeks, and we went to the Dorset Tank Museum.
Ooh,
absolutely
nice,
amazing, amazing
trip. What, like fish tanks?
Yeah, with guns on them and tracks.
Yeah.
What a collection. I mean, there must be at least 200 or 300.
It's nice down there, actually.
Tanks,
yeah.
Absolutely amazing. What brilliant, and how nice the people are. It's a pleasure.
And that was a message from the British Tourist Board. I'm going to say hi to the Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Audio Boo, and the lovely people on RTI. Thank you very much for all the comments again this week. Hi to Stuart, who's just come and joined us. Bless. And if you want to get in touch with us, please do so via Facebook. It's dead easy. All you got to do is go to the page called Radio, because that's us. The sideways look at the news is starting, although we've got a little bit of sad news to start with, haven't we?
We have.
The world's oldest man, Walter Brunning, has died in the US of A at the age of 114.
Amazing.
Well done, Walter, for lasting so long.
And do you know what he said in an interview? He said, you shouldn't be worried to die, we're born to die. I thought, what a lovely attitude.
Well, it is, that's the truth of the matter, isn't it? And we all do spend our lives worrying about dying. I woke up about worrying about dying this morning. In fact, rigor mortis has set in.
Yeah, but no.
Well, I hope that was rigor mortis.
Yeah, but knowing my medical history, I shouldn't really worry that much, should I? Apparently, Walter's secret to long life was put down to a strict regime of 2 meals a day. Meals a day?
Yeah, it depends how big they were.
A Burger King in the morning and a big McDonald's in the afternoon.
I think I'd need more. 2 meals a day, I couldn't do that. But apparently,
and the kebabs are fresh in your breath.
Yeah. And to put this into perspective, he's such an old gentleman that his grandfather used to tell him stories about the American Civil War. My word, absolutely. Moving along to...
Nope, can't move on.
Why?
We have to stay for a second.
Go on.
Buster Martin has died.
Who?
He is the oldest man who ever ran the London Marathon.
Is he? Oh, right.
He was 101 when he ran the London Marathon.
No.
Good man.
Yeah, in 2008, so he's died
now.
What
was his time?
4 weeks, 8 seconds.
Stop it.
And he's died at 104. The reason is that he didn't get into the Guinness Book of Records was because there was some doubt about his age. Some people said he was only 97, which I think is a bit churlish. If you've done a marathon at 97...
That's pretty good going, anyway.
But hang on a minute, does that mean that somebody else older than 97 had already done it?
Yeah, but he's dead now, so he became the oldest.
Oh, right. Uh-huh. And incidentally, I mean, just to go back to Mr. Breuning, Mr. Walter Breuning, age 114, if he was the oldest man, he's died... Who's the oldest man now, and how old are they?
I don't know.
It's Eric.
Stop it!
Yes.
Excuse me, anyway, let's move along. You can tell he's in. I'm going to emphasise some of Lee's contributions to this week's programme, which are easily summarised into cheap tabloid journalism.
Well, long live my red top mentality.
Something serious for a couple of seconds. China's economy has expanded to 9.7, but inflation accelerates in the same week that China and various other countries grouped together in Moscow, I think it was, to sort of say to America and Europe, sod off, we're bigger than you are.
And well, it is. It's like the world's economy is going to have made in China stumps on it, isn't it? I tell you, because they are doing brilliantly. Is this inflation thing a good thing, though?
Well, I think that some inflation is going to be quite good, because doesn't it sort of, you know, reflect that there's growth and interest? And I mean, where there is growth and interest, then people are going to want to pay more because they got more money.
Yeah. Well, why do we worry about inflation so much? If it's a good thing for China, why is it a bad thing for us?
Well, because I think it gets to a point where the things are no longer stable. I mean, if there's a very, very sort of slow creep inflation, I think it's not a bad thing. But if there's, you know, very sort of inconsistent inflation and people's wages can't keep up with it and so forth, then people really can't plan.
What's China's inflation at, Eric?
9.7%.
That's not its inflation.
No, that's the economy.
Growth.
That's the economy.
Oh, sorry. I do beg your pardon. The consumer price rose by 5.4% in March. And the annual figure in February was 4.9%. So it's higher than...
That actually, it's higher than us.
Yeah, but not...
Why are they not worried?
That's a lot.
Well, I think... I've been thinking about this quite a lot. The Chinese population are not as materialistic in most places as the Western communities. Therefore, when the inflation figure goes up, it's not going to hit them quite as hard because they're not into having widescreen tellies in every bedroom, gigabits of internet, having dinners out every night.
That's only because the only reason they have tellies in every bed is because they sell every one of them that they make.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's a different level of expectation. Very prevalent here. Prevalent. And I think the other thing with China, of course, is this very, very small level of debt on the domestic front, which is exactly the same as Slovakia. People don't get into debt, and if you don't get into debt, you can cope with a bit of inflation, but you can't do if you're into six credit cards already.
Well, you're right. And I mean, once you start getting increasing inflation, you get increasing interest, and you're dead right. You've got loans, and you may just be able to manage them. But as soon as the interest rates start going up slightly, then you're in very serious trouble.
You're stumped because you're on the spiral downwards instantly. Yeah. Anyway, it looks like China's, as so many people have been predicting over years, going to have a big influence, and in fact they want to have a bigger influence in the way the International Monetary Fund is run as well. And I'm not surprised because they've got lots of money to play about with. We'll go back to London. A gay couple have been asked to leave a Soho pub for kissing. A gentleman's explained how he was asked to leave a central London pub after a staff member objected to him kissing a man when he was on a date. So you got the two guys in there having a kiss, and he just said we were kissing, and a guy came over to us who they thought was the landlord and told us to stop it because he was offended. And the guy then said, well, we just had a kiss, it was nothing obscene, that was it. It begs the question, who's right and who's wrong?
Well, I'd like to say here, I have a two-part answer to this, but it'll be very quick, though. One, I don't think kissing in public is a particularly attractive thing. I think it's a bit tacky.
Well, yeah, but kissing you would be.
That's a bit tacky. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, with me and you kiss you, that area would be like Velcro. We'd never be apart again. But anyway, it's like, but what's the difference between two blokes doing it and a man and a woman, or two women? And you know what really appalls me about this story is that right at the end it says the Metropolitan Police are investigating the incident.
Yeah, I don't understand this bit.
What are they investigating?
I don't know.
Well, actually, they may not be investigating the couple. They may be investigating the sort of homophobic reaction.
I think you're quite feasibly right.
Yeah, but I agree.
I believe that actually, from the tenor of the story, there's something wrong with this story, you know. Just think about this. See, I'm just thinking of this as a journalist. The main protagonist is called Bull.
Right.
Bull? And you have to add a little...
Well, there is that too. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to go back in time a little bit, because years ago, the landlord and the landlady of a pub could set their own rules. You were effectively going into their home, where they were the landlord and landlady, and if it was they wanted to serve food, they did or they didn't. If they wanted to serve then lager, they did or they didn't. And if they wanted to have a non-smoking one in 20 years ago, they did or they didn't. But now, all of a sudden, it seems that landlord and the landlady of a public house are no longer the landlord and landlady.
Well, yeah, I mean, you say all that, but I mean, I can also say, for instance, that in those times that you were speaking of, if they wanted to exclude non-white people, they could, and nothing would stop them either. So, you know,
it's
I'm not sure.
It's a long,
that
it was... long time since you've done that. That was going back into the 60s.
Well,
that
you
was
know,
ended in the
you're
60s.
Right, but the thing is, I'm just trying to sort of say that it's not all. It wasn't all good, or it wasn't all reasonable. I mean, you know, this idea, of course, of running your home. I mean, they're not running a home. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they're running a business. And I have to say, I mean, I've got some sympathy with people who maybe do find it difficult to see same-sex couples. I don't know, what do you want to say, fraternizing or
yeah, that's okay.
In public. You know, and it may be very difficult for people to change their, you know, their older attitudes. But on the other hand, if you're running a business, then I think you have to accept the business rules, whatever they are.
There are no rules saying that you've got to kick people out of a pub because they're kissing. There are no rules to that effect. That is, if this story's true, this is sheer bigotry.
Well,
and,
I think it is.
And this pub should be taken to task.
I completely agree, though,
in the same way as though that poor couple, the Christian couple in wherever it was down south, who didn't want gay people in their guest house. Yeah. Now, I think their decision was wrong because of the way they handled it after the first complaint. Mm. But I have great sympathy for the way they've been pilloried over this.
Sure.
And this could happen to this bloke in the pub, but in a way. This bloke in the pub, bear in mind, this is in bloody Soho.
Well, there is actually.
Isn't that another thing? I mean, it is in Soho.
Definitely.
It does seem to me that the pub handled it rather badly. I mean, it looks to me as if it really started to get quite out of order. But the other thing that occurs to me is, this is a male homosexual couple. Supposing it had been a female homosexual couple,
I bet there would be nothing then.
I can imagine that all that would happen, it would have been some grinning and, you know, sort of poking the elbow and saying, look at that, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the attitude would have been completely different. Mm. And actually, that's the kind of bigotry that I object to even more than sort of, you know, a homophobic attitude that's sort of evenly deployed against lesbian couples and male gay couples.
Well, I because I don't exactly know where this... I kind of resemble Broadwick Street in Soho. And my advice to the landlord, having wound you all up, would be I'd keep quiet if I was you.
I would as well.
Because round there is one of a huge centres of broadcasting, of which the broadcasting industry is very well known for having creative gay people in the industry.
And they'll all be coming to your pub and snogging.
No, they won't. They just won't go to your pub, mate. You'll have no business.
Me and I are going down there to try it out, aren't we, tomorrow?
Well, if you
and you're the one with the hair, so you can be the lady.
Oh my God, I've just thought of something. Mark, how long are you staying in London?
I'm here for 2 more weeks.
For 2 more weeks? Careful, Mark. Warning. Hang on. Sorry. Warning. Mark, that's especially for you. Mr. Banks is coming to London on Monday.
Are you really, Lee?
I am.
Wow. Well, it would be wonderful to meet up for a cup of tea. Or even go to a pub in Soho.
A cup of tea? I'm going to go all the way to London to meet Mark and have a cup of tea? It's no wonder you're living gay, Harry.
So much of the gay, thank you.
Right, yes, exactly. Just to cut in there, this is coming up. It's coming up next Friday, where Lee will be talking to some of the top 50 chefs/restaurants in the world. Yeah. In the world. And he's going to be down there at a special, one of these really snobby do's.
Nobody else get in.
No, I know.
Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, probably is with him. It's get the, well, the tone is going to be lowered the minute he walks in. Anyway, moving along. Glastonbury 2011's coming up, and the lineup has been announced already. Actually, it's a blinking good lineup.
It's a rubbish lineup.
It's brilliant. Plan B, Tiny Temper. Sorry?
Laura Marling, who's she?
Who?
Old person.
Laura Marling.
Old person. U2, Coldplay, Beyonce are going to be there. Also on the bill is Pendulum, Paolo Nutini, Metronomy, Two Door City Club, Wu-Tang Clan. There's loads of really big people.
Two Door Cinema Club, Wu-Tang Clan.
Also, already announced and confirmed, the Chemical Brothers, Mumford & Sons, Primal Scream, Fleet Foxes, Friendly Fire. It's going to be a heck of a big festival. Heck of a big festival. But, of course, there's no Bob Dylan in there, is there?
The reason there is no Bob Dylan in there...
Oh, here we go.
He's headlined... His Royal Bobness has headlined Glastonbury in the last 10 years. I think it's 6 times, dear. And at this moment, he's touring in China for the first time, making breakthroughs there. He's also got a world tour that I think up to now he's booked in for 236 dates this year.
He's got
236?
He does an average of 250 dates a year.
Blimey.
Amazing. How old is
he? Do you know, he hasn't got Colonel Tom...
Pensioner?
Hang on, he hasn't got Colonel Tom Parker as his marketing department, has he?
He's been dead for decades!
Oh, right, okay. Just making sure.
814.
Anyway.
He's actually in Britain at the at Finsbury Park... in July, the beginning of July, so he's not at
Finsbury Park. What does that take, about 200 people?
No, it's the big open-air Irish thing that I can't... What they called the Flailey or something. The Flailey.
Anyway, something Bob Dylan will definitely understand at his age. This weekend is Record Day 2011. It's actually on the 16th of April, boys and girls, where some of the biggest artists in the world are trying to help the independent record stores by releasing one-off versions of songs. And there's hundreds of bands of musicians, including people like Lady Gaga, Foo Fighters, Adele. Oh, my God. Not Adele again. There's got to be some rule on that track never being played again.
I had one of her computers once.
Anyway, you can suffer, Adele. Kings of Leon, Mumford & Sons are going to be doing some stuff. And they're going to be doing loads and loads of, you know, really special tracks, 12-inch singles, stuff like that, for the independent record stores, which I think is fabulous.
Are these coming out on vinyl?
No, that's why I said records. I specifically said records, not CDs.
And you said 12-inch. You couldn't make a CD a 12-inch.
That's why it's a record.
So it's on vinyl. That was only a matter of clarification.
Yes.
You are awkward and argumentative. Oh. That was just a perfectly straight bit of clarification. Oh. Have you really making them on vinyl, then?
No, that's why they're 12-inch singles.
Well, they have little holes in the middle so you can stick them on your record player, because it's stupid, because nobody's got record players.
Why not?
That's right. Can you get record players still?
Can still get them. Yeah, I can get you. I've got dozens of record players, but...
You can go into one of the better known PC shops in the UK. You know, I don't mean politically correct, I mean computer bits. The same as you can go to a computer shop in Slovakia and buy a, and if I remember rightly, it's made by Bush, and it plugs into a computer or a Gram pickup. It does both.
So, two in the Bush. Right. Who's better than one in the...
Stop it. And that's how I converted a load of vinyl over.
Yeah, hang on a minute. This is a one-off day to help the world's record shops.
Yeah.
They're going to put the record out, so people are going to have to pay for the record. I bet that's going to cost you £10 or £12.
So?
Then you've got to go out and buy a record player to play it on.
Well, not if you've already got a record player.
Well, if you just said the whole reason we're having this conversation is because people don't have record players anymore.
Well, so actually, I need a record player.
Right. This is doomed to failure.
If you go to one of those shops that you understand what I've just been talking about while you're in London, Mark, you can buy a record player that plugs in the back of your computer or your laptop, and you can play records on it and then record them onto...
Well, I'll tell you, I might go and have a look, because actually I've just been sorting out some old boxes and I've just found a load of my old vinyl records. all my 1960 stuff. The first record I ever bought, the first LP or first album I ever bought, was Freak Out by the Mothers of Invention.
My God,
brilliant, man!
Fantastic. I've still got
it
there.
Off again.
It's in fantastic condition.
But I'll tell you, Frank Zappa was one of the world's greatest inventive recording.
Mm-hmm. It can happen here.
She got. Who else you got? And who else you got?
I've got Soft Machine and all the Soft Machine albums and King Crimson.
The white cliffs of Dover.
Eric's too young to remember this.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the Highway Blues, you can tell.
I'm Babe Magnet, says Jezza.
I know. The only problem is, if you look underneath that headline, it says Clarkson Latest, and nobody's bothered to put any Clarkson Latest in.
Oh, right. I couldn't make head or tail of it.
The story of this is some young lady who claimed that she'd been having, or there was a claim that young Jeremy Clarkson from Top Gear had been having an illicit affair with a young lady when he hadn't. And
50, despite the way he looks.
Why do you journalists all have to put age into it? You're so ageist.
You just said, because he's young.
But he is young.
Pointed out, he's 50.
He's young.
To me and Mark, that's not young, even though Mark's over 70.
I'm almost 114.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm the oldest man who's late for a radio show.
Yes, that's right. Sorry about that.
Sorry, guys. We don't care. Good old Jeremy Clarkson seems to have done very well in the UK press about it, and he's now milking it for everything it's worth.
He's now focused on should we say which newspaper?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, he's now focused on the Daily Star. And
it's all right. Lee, it's a newspaper. They need all the adverts they can get.
Right, yeah.
I'm coming to that later.
Anyway, he's done a deal with them, what looks like a deal with them, and he's just, like you say, milking it for... But he's having a laugh along the way.
He's having a laugh at journalism, I quite agree. Good man.
He's not. No, don't you start on that. He's not having a laugh at journalism. What he's actually doing is having a laugh and making the story interesting enough for the papers to go with him on the funny side.
Yeah. And that's why nobody else in the media is at all interested in it. A 20-year-old writes off a dad's £275,000 supercar.
I'm not talking to you now.
Not? His pocket money stopped, I suppose.
Yeah. The 20-year-old German was apparently lucky to escape with his life.
When his dad found out.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, what father gives a 20-year-old a car like that to drive?
A very, very, very rich one.
Or silly.
Well, unless the boy maybe just, got the keys and went off for a little ride to impress his girlfriend.
In which case, he's a spoiled
brat. The
dad
was trying to steal his girlfriend and said, take her out in that, son, and tell her it's my car.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the girlfriend was only in the front seat. I mean, he didn't even manage to get her into the back seat.
He's not very good then, is he?
No, he's not, really.
I never bothered with back seats. I thought front seats were fine.
We'll stop there and move on.
They were big, long bench seats, I suppose.
Something that's coming up next week, which we will be focusing on, is this the next generation of royals, we ask ourselves?
Unequivocally.
Probably.
They said that word, didn't they? Didn't say it.
No. next Friday is the royal wedding, which marks the... it's going to be a huge day in the UK.
It'll be the same length, just 24 hours.
Well,
it's just going to be a very long 24 hours for some people.
I think it'll be really interesting. I covered Diana's wedding. And I covered Diana's death. Actually, I was actually.
Don't
there.
Start there again because I hate that. That was horrible.
You were the jinx
week.
In the whole thing, really, weren't you?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, no, I think it's really interesting because it's something, particularly when this country is in such disarray as it is now, that something like this does generally pull the British public back together and gives us a sense of occasion and of good feelings, which
But it's got. Listen, guys, it's got to be said. If England can do anything, and it's crap at doing most things, but if
it can throw a party,
it can indeed. It can put on, it can put on a day like this, no other, and it really is fab. So we wish William and Kate all the best, and we want to know how you are going to be celebrating the day because we'd like to know that, and what we're going to be doing is we'll be hooking up, because believe it or not, the wedding's live on Slovak TV, on the national broadcaster. Yeah. It's actually live. So we'll also be whizzing around the world here in the programme to see how different countries are reporting on or taking the feed live or what they're doing during the wedding. So we're going to actually be exploring how the media is looking at the royal wedding in the UK. That'll be fun.
That'll be really good. Yeah.
That'll be a bit of fun.
Really good.
But we want to know how... are you going to be, if you're in the UK or maybe you're in the US or somewhere else, will you be celebrating the day? And if so, how are you going to be celebrating the day? Get in touch with us via your own station, or you can message us on Facebook. That's the easy way of doing it.
I'm going to be on a Eurostar going back to Paris.
Are you really?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, my word.
Well, dear.
The interesting thing for us is because in the day job, we've got clients in the UK. They're actually, most of them, having holidays. And I'm going,
yeah.
Oh, okay then. Oh, and because I'm English, my team here are going, yeah, but and they've been selling me the idea of watching the wedding.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they've been selling me the idea of staying at home and watching the wedding. They're saying to me, why don't you stay at home and watch the wedding, Eric? That'll be good. No problems. If there's anything to worry about, we'll call you. And I'm thinking, you naughty little team. They want to stay at home and have a day off, don't they? Yeah. They must
and
think
they
I'm...
they don't realise that you're the same as me. Anything to do with weddings sends shivers up and down your spine.
Well, they must think I'm a stupid Englishman.
They could be right.
Yeah. On that happy note, still to come on the programme, are the rainy days gone in Britain? How do you paint over your personal crisis? Might be some stories there from Mark. Pink jeans? What the heck? It's the 60s coming back again. I've eaten 7 sofas in a year. We've got to find out more about that. Lee is actually going to claim in the part 2, here is the news. There will be no news anymore, says Mr. Banks.
I'm not going to claim that at all.
We will be giving you a quick overview of the new version of Windows building something very similar to Google Street Maps. Here we go again.
Oh, that is despicable.
Unbelievable.
Let's get them.
We'll be talking about, well, hang on, part 2, it's parental guidance, but we'll be talking about a penis museum.
And you said the P word.
I did indeed. And Jedward as well. That's the end of part 1 of Postcard from Pop. That's the end of part 1 of Postcard from Pop Rad Boys and Girls. We'll be back fast and you can make that milkshake. Grab yourself a cup of tea. Pop to the bathroom. We'll be back with Rainy Days in Britain Gone Forever in a couple of seconds.
Eric, give me a break.
RTI.